We welcome to the program today Maria Skaros Mercado. She is a board-certified clinical chaplain, and she's a grief counselor. We're going to speak about death today and how do we deal with death as families. Maria, nice to have you on the program today.
Nice to be here. Thank you, Father.
Let me ask you, I guess, an obvious question. How do you prepare a child for the death, not only of his own death, but how about a family member, even a friend?
Well, why don't we start with the death of a family member for a child, because I think that's more common for people. Sooner or later, the child will be confronted with the subject of death, mm-hmm. and often trying to protect them from sorrow causes unnecessary anxiety and perhaps guilt in children. And it's important to prepare children before an actual death, if that's possible. Mm-hmm. And the family or the parent is too upset to help the child during after the death. When someone in a family dies, many parents will attempt to protect their children by not talking about sorrow or death. And this is a misguided kind of protection. Children don't need protection. They need competent guidance and satisfactory answers to their questions. And children can be taught that all things die, flowers, pets, people, and all that is a part of life. And also to reassure or to let them know that death makes people sad and that it's a part of life. But together, a family remembers happy times and tells stories and goes to church and prays and shares their feelings about the person who's died. And some days will be happy and others sad. And we'll all be here to comfort each other. Now, as far as preparing a child for their own death, I started off in grief counseling, actually, in pediatric oncology. And I have to tell you that the children were the ones that comforted the parents.
That's what I've seen, too. It's an amazing thing.
It is very amazing.
Yeah.
They truly come to terms with their vulnerability and their fragility and somehow gain this empowerment, and they begin to care for their loved ones. Mm. And I think that that's something that's quite miraculous in a way, especially young children, under 10, I'd say, mm-hmm. in particular.
Well, let me ask you this, Maria. How about the parents who there is a death in the family? Mm-hmm. And the parents say, you know, you're not going to come to the funeral parlor, and you're not going to come. We do not want you to come to the funeral itself. Mm-hmm. Any guidelines there for parents? How do
yeah.
you deal with that?
I really think that it should be the child's decision. And I think the parents should be honest and let the child know what they can expect, what they'll see, tell them exactly what takes place, and let them decide, mm-hmm. Because it is a family process. And by telling the child that they cannot be a part of this basically gives them the message that this is something that is an unacceptable experience for mm-hmm. them to encounter.
That's
it's
the message.
It's not a natural experience.
That's the message, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
A difference in talking to children that deal with death, the death of others, 5 years old, 10 years old, mm-hmm. 15 years old. I'm sure there's differences there. Could you kind of put some of that in a box for us?
Oh, sure. Well, death is an emotionally different experience depending on the age of the child. Children under the age of 4 usually view death as temporary and reversible, as I mentioned to you, and it's reinforced in cartoons. When a character
That's
is dead
right.
1 minute and bounces back to life the next.
I never thought of that. You're absolutely right. That's right. That's what happens.
You know, yeah. they may feel angry when they see people grieving. They may feel angry due to the lack of attention that they're getting. Mm-hmm. And they may feel guilty that they might have caused the death because they were mean to Papu or Yaya mm-hmm. the last time they spoke. And even though they don't verbalize these feelings, children at this age need to be reassured that their parents are healthy and will always be there for them, and that the child was not responsible for the death. Now, above the age of 6, children begin to understand the concept and the reality of death. And it's important for you to give brief, clear, and honest answers to the older child about death and wait for them to ask questions. because sometimes we get a little too esoteric and they just really want simple answers. And children can absorb just so much information at one time. So it's important to give them the opportunity to ask questions days, weeks, and even months later. Mm-hmm. And with young children, parents need to avoid phrases like, Bapu went on a long trip, or the family pet was put to sleep, because then don't be surprised when the child waits for Bapu to come back.
That's right.
From his trip.
That's
and
right.
And for children to be fearful of going to bed if the pet was put to sleep. And by stating God loved Yaya so much that he took her, will make the child believe that God goes around grabbing people and taking them away.
So what should they say?
They should say that this Yaya was sick and everybody dies, and to use the word die, because using euphemisms like passed away, that can get confusing to a very young child. And children with unsettled feelings of grief, they often, if they're sending messages to you that they're unsettled, like they're failing grades or they're bedwetting and withdrawing from activities, it's important to sit and talk to them about their feelings and, if need be, to seek professional advice.
Okay.
Teens are a whole nother ball game. They feel an overwhelming loss, especially if the person who's died has helped shape their self-identities. Because during their adolescent years, they're trying to figure out who they are, and they're going through all this ego strengthening. And it's important to be open, honest, and loving to them.
Mm-hmm.
Sad to say, many adults tell teens to be strong in the face of death, which discourages them to share their grief. So it's important to help the teen find safe and nurturing emotional outlets and letting them know that it's okay and normal to feel a multitude of emotions when someone they love dies.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, overall, children don't choose to grieve or not to grieve. They grieve mm-hmm. according to their developmental stage, and it's a caring adult in all their stages that will make a difference for them.
So what I'm hearing, Maria, is you're saying to be honest with them,
mm-hmm.
but to be fair in the commentary you use, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Children respond to death in different ways, obviously.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Remember that children don't sit and discuss a subject
right.
for hours like we do.
Right.
They'll come running in and ask a very hard question, and it's important for you to listen and make sure you understand what exactly do they want to know and mm-hmm. answer them truthfully. And after a moment, they might just go back out to play. So it's important to seize the moment and talk about the subject when they want to. It's natural for them to change the subject and return to it later. They can only take so much information at a time. And if your child asks, am I going to die? Because children say
that, especially
all the time. Tell them that they will, but mm-hmm. not for a very, very long time.
Yeah, make sure you qualify it, right?
Yeah. Oh, you have yeah. to make sure you qualify it.
Sure.
And if a child asks if the parent is going to die,
mm-hmm.
they should be told that all people die eventually, but their parents will not die for a very, very long time. And if the child asks a question that you don't know the answer to, it's okay to say, I don't know. Don't make up a story.
You use the terms Papu and Yaya, and for those people who are not Greek that might be listening to the program, Papu is a grandfather, Yaya is a grandmother.
Right.
And my grandfather, my Papu, had a great saying. He says, he gave you two ears and one mouth. So in life, you listen more
yeah.
and you speak less.
Right.
And he had a third grade education, so he knew what he was talking about.
Oh, my Yaya also had quite, it's very funny that we're talking about this because my parents, my Yaya came, and I was her namesake,
mm-hmm.
and she came from Greece, and I was very excited to meet her, and she was just wonderful. And unfortunately, she had a stroke, a massive stroke in our home at the dinner table, mm-hmm. and I was 5 years old, mm-hmm. and I was scooted in the back room with my cousin,
mm-hmm.
And the EMS came and took her away, and I never saw my grandmother again and was told that she went back to Greece.
Oh, my goodness.
As opposed to telling me honestly,
right,
you know, what was going on. And maybe that's why I do grief counseling.
Well, who knows? But obviously you do a great job at it. Let me ask you this. What do we do when the entire family is grieving? I mean,
yeah,
mother, father, children. How do we deal with that? Any ideas there for us?
Well, ideally, if the death is imminent, it's important to speak about it prior to the actual death and what to expect and to prepare children and to prepare each other. And this helps the adults cope later on and with related issues that'll arise. But when mourning, let the children know it, and the parents should let the child see that they are truly sad.
Mm-hmm.
If grief is hidden, the child will come to understand that grief is unacceptable. It's an unacceptable feeling. So it's important to be open to the child's questions, no matter how old they are.
Mm-hmm.
And a child will watch the adults to see whether they're permitted to ask questions or to be sad, to cry, or to go out to play. So, and we did talk about the funeral, and that should be a child's choice. I think it's important to also recognize that forcing a child to speak or trying to protect a child is not about the child. It's about ourselves. And to be open to each other in a family system. Everyone is going to grieve very differently, and to be honest with each other and recognize that that will be the case, and to allow each other to go to their own corners if they need be, and then come back together and be together. And then, of course, in the church, we come together.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Coming mm-hmm. together in the church, there are memorial services. We have them usually in increments of time, 9 days, 40 mm-hmm. days, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, and then during the Saturdays of Souls, which are three times a year, actually
right.
four times a year. There's three and there's one near Pentecost. So how do the monthly increments, do they correspond at all to the natural grieving process?
On some level, yes, they do. I think it helps carry us through the grieving process. And remembrance is an important part of grieving, though at times very painful. Now, having these traditions in place is a way of feeling God's presence and love with us. And it's a way of traveling the path of tomorrow into a new relationship with the deceased, with the love and support of our Lord and our church. And our loved ones are also a part of these traditions, and thus, this gives the family, the friends, and the community a way in which to honor the deceased and witness God's love. So it is an important means of coming every few months, you know, just touching base.
Yes.
Touching base at home, you know, with all of us, with each other.
And it's also good in the community. I try to tell people, they could mm-hmm. tell me all the time, you know, Father, I really don't do the church. I can go on the beach because we're in Florida. I can go to the beach. I can go mm-hmm. pray there. I can go to the tennis court. I can go to the coffee shop. And I really don't need to come to church. And I said, well, you're totally and completely wrong.
Right.
Not only do you need the church, but other people need to have you with them.
Right.
Because you're a witness to them and you're a strength to them, because we live in a community. We don't live as isolated entities.
Yes.
And we also do, as you know, the memorial services. You have koliva, you have the memorial wheat that is prepared.
Mm-hmm.
That has, I think, a therapeutic effect as well, besides from its theological standpoint, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. I absolutely agree. And the actual preparation must be very healing. And I have to be honest in saying that I'm guilty of never having prepared it. And as a young woman, my mother and my aunts didn't want the younger girls to be a part of the preparation.
I remember those days, yes.
You know, once again, a misguided means of protecting us. But this is an important part of our tradition in helping the healing and understanding of what Christ said to us. Unless a wheat grain falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone.
Mm.
But if it dies, it bears much fruit. I would imagine the preparation is a type of prayerful process. And, Father, I'm going to tell you, right on this program that the next Lenten period, I will prepare it myself to honor my family.
That's beautiful. No, that's beautiful. I think it's a wonderful practice. I really do.
Yes.
Aside from the memorial services, activities, mm-hmm. letters, what can you recommend to people that are dealing with the grieving process?
Well, you know, one thing that I've noticed, I don't know, maybe in the last 5, maybe 10 years, is at wakes, many people have photos all around.
Yes.
Representing the life of the deceased. And some even have laptops showing family movies and
yes.
rotating photographs.
Yes, I've seen that too.
And collecting photos can be painful as well as joyous. Now, I remember months after my father's death, I went to a craft shop and bought an elaborate scrapbook and stickers and various trinkets and took another few months to complete the book. Now, my father died years before my children were born, but I have the scrapbook to show, which they love to look through. And with each page, they repeat a story I shared.
Amazing.
And because of this act of memoriam for my father, I have not only healed from my grief, but I'm able to share my father's love with his granddaughters. So that's very healing, to do a scrapbook, or to write a story, or to keep a journal, to write letters, continuing to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries in some way or another is also something that people can do, or donating money or time in the deceased's name can be another way to offer memorial.
Maria, it's been a fascinating conversation, and I hope and pray you'll come back again. God give you strength in everything you do, especially in the care of those who are leaving this world, and as you've said, speak to it about dying, and that's what we did today. Thank you so much, Maria.
Thank you, Father Chris.